You're listening to the podcast of Eucharist Church in San Francisco, a community of faith seeking to live all of life in reference to Christ. Join us now for this week's message.
Good morning, church. It's so good to be here with you today. Thank you, Father Jeff, for inviting me. Both to share about the mission and work of Because Justice Matters, and also to share from the scriptures this morning. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is here with us, Lord. We pray that as we open your scriptures, that you would illuminate to us your goodness, your word, your faithful provision. God, I surrender all of my preparation and capacities, Lord, that you would do what only you can do in hearts. We love you. We trust you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So I am Gabby Alzate. It's really good to be here with you this morning. I am the executive director of Because Justice Matters. So we are a ministry building pathways to brighter futures for women, girls, and their families in San Francisco and urban communities. We've been in the Tenderloin for the last 15 years, and we have a table downstairs full of team members that are going to be really excited to talk to you about all the details of that with pizza and calzones in hand after service. Amen. Amen. So make sure you go check them out. But some of the things that we do is we serve girls ages as young as 5 through high school. We do creative arts ministry with them. So dance, theater, different ways to engage them in a holistic way through the gospel. We do families ministry, wraparound care for families and resourcing. And then you'll also experience our calzone and pizza pop-up today, which is our newest endeavor and social enterprise serving transitional age youth that have been impacted by different systems in San Francisco. But one way that I specifically want to talk to you about today is through our ministry that we call Eden Made, which provides resources, community, and prayer ministry to women and strip clubs in our neighborhood in the Tenderloin. So my question for you this morning is, what good news could the Good Shepherd bring to San Francisco's strip clubs? And how can we learn and be encouraged from this good news? So I read Psalm 23 a little bit differently nowadays after so many years in the Tenderloin and doing the work that I do. But I want to jump to the text, Psalm 23 out of the NIV. The text says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So like I said, Because Justice Matters, or BJM, serves women and girls. And one of the ways that we do that is outreaching to women in the adult entertainment industry, specifically to women in San Francisco's strip clubs. So something you should know about BJM is that everything that we do is rooted and birthed in prayer. So before we launched this ministry in 2018, we prayed weekly, at least weekly, as a team for over a year. And so once launch night came, we had intercession beforehand, intercession and worship. And as we were praying that night, we felt like God reminded us of Psalm 23:5 that says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup runneth over." And one of our staff members prophetically prayed, "It's like Jesus wants us to know that he's rolling out the red carpet ahead of us, that he's at work there already, and we're just partnering with him in the work that he's already doing." And so we go to the club that we felt like God released us to go into with our little resource bags and encouragement cards. And we walk in and we're greeted by this woman who we find out later is the manager. And she just kind of looks at us like, "What are you doing here?" And so we walk in and we're like super nervous. Because Justice Matters, we're here. Ministry Women for Women. We have these resources. Do you think that this is something that you need? We think the women might be encouraged. Like, ooh, like we want to help these women. And this woman looks at us and she goes, follow me. And so we're like, okay. So we're walking back into like deeper and deeper inside the club, right? And so there's just like the enemy, the darkness, the presence of like intimidation and fear and exploitation, perversion, abuse. We're like feeling all of this weight right here. And we look down and we realize that there's literally a red carpet that we're walking down as we go deeper and deeper into the club. And in that moment, we felt like God was like, I am at work here. I'm preparing a table for you. You just follow me. And so we get to the back, new authority, right? We get to the back and this woman who we realize is the manager, she like looks through every single thing that we have in this resource bag. And she looks across from us and she said, this is exactly what I've been saying that these women need here. You can come here whenever you want. You are always welcome. God was at work. Amen. Fast forward, the same woman, she's left the industry. She's pursuing her master's. She joined our team for a time as one of our volunteer leads that she actually taught us how to best resource women that are in the adult entertainment industry, and then prayed with us and went on prayer walks with us that God would move in power in the adult entertainment industry in San Francisco. Amen. God is at work. And so this changed the way that I read Psalm 23, because I realized that there is no place that is too far gone, that's too dark, that's too hopeless for God to set a table in the presence of my enemies, and that he is actually already at work there. And that's what I think that God wants to stir in us this morning, that God is a good shepherd, that he's with us in the pasture, that he's guiding us into the valley, and that not only is he preparing and like politely inviting us to the table, but he's actually like calling us, he's beckoning us to come and feast with him at his table in the presence of our enemy. But first, let's talk about the shepherd. So what is the significance of the shepherd? In ancient Israel, the sheep and the shepherds were really key in the agricultural life there. And the author of this particular passage was David. So he knew the role of a good shepherd very intimately because he was one himself. And shepherds were there for protection and for guidance, but they were also there to ensure that the sheep had all that they needed and that all of their food was provided for them. And this took a lot of planning. So there was like this annual rhythm and this annual cycle of a good shepherd. So we're going to start in the spring. In the spring, they were often near the village. There was an abundance of green pasture for the sheep to feed on. It was good. It was lush, right? But then summer would come. And so it was actually this intentional migration that they would have to go on. They would have to leave the spring season, the abundance of pastures, they would have to leave those. They would have to journey through the wilderness to the Jordan Valley, because this is where the food was plentiful for them in that season. This is what the sheep needed. And then they would move into autumn and winter, when it was actually the responsibility of the shepherd to feed the sheep, to provide for the sheep, that to prepare everything that they needed for them in the seasons of lack. So we can see that a good shepherd is a good leader, a well-planned leader, one that's not caught off from like surprises of different seasons. He's faithful, he's committed, he's devoted. And Jesus actually refers to himself as the good shepherd in John 10. In verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So we see that the good shepherd is sacrificial. And then right after in verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. So the good shepherd is present with the sheep and intimately knows the sheep. This is a good, good shepherd. As we move back into the text of Psalm 23, we see that the text leads us to the shepherd at the very beginning, who then leads the sheep, or is what is understood to be us, those who follow Jesus, into the pasture. What strikes me about verses 1-3 is that the author's emphasis on the personal nature of the shepherd and the attentiveness of the shepherd to his sheep's needs. So remember, in the pasture, it's plentiful, it's full of good things, but we still need to be led into it, right? So we read, the shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside quiet waters, restores my soul, guides me along right paths. Very active, right? Makes, leads, restores, guides. And in return, it says, I shall not want. In other translations, I lack nothing. I have all that I need. We get to enter into this perfect rest when we're led by an active shepherd. And the emphasis is that the shepherd wants to ensure the well-being of not just the individual sheep, but the well-being of the flock. He's nurturing, he's intentional, he's the one that can be trusted. And we need to rest like that, like he makes us rest. The shepherd starts here because he knows that the sheep are tired and that we need rest, right? That's why we start each week with Sunday. The week doesn't start on Monday, the week starts on Sunday, right? The Sabbath day, the day of rest, because our good shepherd knows the reality of the journey ahead of us, the reality of the valleys, the reality of the enemies and the trials. And so he intentionally prepares us for it with a day of rest. My question is, do we say yes to the rest that he leads us into? Do we trust that we can put down our worries and our responsibilities and our emails and our projects? And do we trust that the good shepherd is going to take care of that while we rest? I want to encourage us that the good shepherd is one that we can trust. And it's this good shepherd who leads us from the pasture and into the valley. And so as we do move into the valley, I want to remind us that this was a really regular migration of the sheep. It was an intentional migration by the shepherd. It was a season that was to be expected to move into the valley. And we have no reason to fear in this intentional season because the good shepherd protects us from our enemies with his rod and he guides us with his staff. So both of these, both the rod and the staff, are resources of comfort in this season of the valley. And these valley seasons, these seasons of trial or of waiting, they're part of the natural journey of life, right? But we don't have to fear the valleys of our lives because we're being led there and we're being led there by and with our good shepherd. And I think that oftentimes it's the valley seasons of our lives that really define us and form us, right? Like I've never really met anyone who's gone through like intense trial and they just like kind of come out the same on the other side, right? It's these valley seasons that define us and form us. And it's where we plant seeds that will eventually bear fruit in our lives. So there are deep wells of resilience that are dug in the valley. Integrity is birthed in the valley. Character formation and Christ-likeness and values, these are things that are all seeded in the valleys of our lives. But my caution to you this morning is that valley seasons also have the potential to seed other things, right? Complaints or bitterness, self-pity or mistrust in the shepherd, those can also be seeded in the valley. And so I want to ask you, what are you planting in the valley in the seasons of waiting or trial? What will bear fruit in another season? And again, I just want to encourage you today that we can trust the good shepherd to comfort, to protect, and to lead us through the valleys of life and to the table of feasting. And so also, I want to remind you again that this is another normal rhythm of a good shepherd, providing in the season for the sheep when there is lack and when the sheep cannot provide for themselves. The shepherd is a trustworthy provider. He's strong and he's capable. He's always alert to the enemies lurking, but he's never intimidated or afraid of them. In fact, the author of this book, David, was a shepherd, and this is the same David of David and Goliath, right? So it's because of the moments of him knowing that, of guiding and protecting his sheep, that he was confident that he could take down Goliath. So in 1 Samuel 17, David says, this isn't me paraphrasing, but it's the gist. I've been keeping my father's sheep. I am a good shepherd. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from a flock, I went after it. I struck it down and I killed it and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I killed it. I have killed both the lion and the bear, and Goliath will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. I am a good shepherd. I am capable and strong of taking down the enemy. He was confident that he could take on Goliath and the giants, the enemies, because of his days as a shepherd. And he is more confident in the way that God protects and provides for his sheep. So he writes, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." So the table is set in the presence of enemies. I think that often we think we need to like retreat and then God will set a table, but that's actually not what the text says. The text says, in the presence of my enemies, that's where God sets the table. And we're at the table with the good shepherd, the one who slays the enemy and who defeats our giants. I do want to acknowledge that those enemies often feel very, very real and tangible, right? Illness, financial crisis, layoffs, relational dynamics, the lack in our lives, right? Those feel like very real threats to our well-being. And I want to remind us that our enemies are principalities of evil. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." But praise God that Jesus is victorious over every evil principality. Amen? And the place where you think that God wouldn't place an extravagant table is exactly where he would choose to. And so you might be thinking, Gabby, you don't understand. Like, it's too dark. It's too hopeless. There's too much history there. There's too much pain. There's no way that God could be at work there in my life. But that's exactly what I would have said about a strip club, right? That's exactly what I would have thought about my own family of origin, about my own financial situation. But this is exactly where God shows off his power when we answer his call to come and sit at his table. This is where he anoints us, where he sets us apart. This is where he sets the table. When we're vulnerable like sheep, when we need him like sheep, when we can't provide for ourselves like sheep, this is where our cup, our portion overflows. It's at the table that we partake in abundant provision and his blessing and his power. Amen? So as we close today, I want to leave you with these questions. One, do we trust this good shepherd in all seasons of our lives? Two, what are we planting in the valley? And three, are we responding to God beckoning us to come and feast at his table in the most unlikely of places amongst our enemies? Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are the good shepherd. We trust you, and we trust that you are leading us and guiding us in all of the different seasons of our lives, Lord. I love in the Message translation, the psalm is wrapped up by saying, "Your love chases us all the days of our lives, Lord." So let us live knowing that you are pursuing us, even in the valley, even in the presence of our enemies. You are a good, strong, capable, and faithful shepherd. Teach us to trust you more. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Eucharist Podcast. For more information, visit our website at eucharistsf.org.